Hi everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome back to YAG. It's been a joy seeing everyone gathered here today again. And we've been learning from the book of Ecclesiastes and lessons concerning wisdom. So the lessons concerning wisdom that we have been learning through this year have been quite applicable to me personally in work. I started this year with a new role and it has been challenging at times. So this year, things at work were changing. There were many different people coming in and going out of the firm. As with every law firm, the turnover rate is very high. But with every change, there were some people who didn't like it and some people who would complain about it and sometimes also quite frequently so. So I got a bit tired of the complaining and of the politics. So I didn't really want to take part in it, and this would affect my mood, my spirit, and my attitude at work in general. So if I participated in it, sometimes I would also be forced to share my views, my opinions, or to take sides when I'm asked. This was when the lessons of wisdom became slightly more real to me, to ensure that I don't have to participate in these conversations, which most often happen at lunch. I would often meet friends outside of work for lunch. Some of these friends were Christians, and we would often talk about God, how God has been real in our lives, the different challenges, and how we seek to apply faith in these challenges. Sometimes when I don't have lunch plans, I will eat by myself. At first, I thought it was a bit sad, and it got sadder when my favorite cafe closed down, and I'll text my wife, when am I going to eat for lunch? Sometimes when I have no friends, I also ask my wife as my last resort, can we go for lunch? But jokes aside, when I do have lunch by myself, I often enjoy the time thinking about God, what God wants me to do, or meditate, or passages or verses which I've been learning about or seeking to memorize, and how I can walk better with God. Wisdom teaches me to move away from the things that could affect my spirit and to help me realign my focus to God. Practically, this has also helped me save time and energy at work. And wisdom has also taught me to not only know when to say things, but also when not to say some things. In Proverbs 17, verse 28, I read, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. This has been challenging for me. It is sometimes easy to be reactive or want to say something when I see it. Sometimes it's even more challenging when it's something I believe in or stand for. Sometimes to just keep quiet and to hold my peace and to wait quietly upon the Lord is more challenging, and it's something that I hope to continue cultivating for Him to act accordingly instead of taking things into my own hands. This is something that I continually need to learn and hope to learn even more about, especially in situations where I have no control. I'm learning to trust in His word, to apply the lessons of wisdom that I'm learning, fully believing that, as we learned last week, wisdom can make a difference, changing the sternness of our face. Wisdom can make us distinct. It can make our face shine. And there are definite results when we apply wisdom. I seek to continue to trust the Lord and His word for the rest of the year and to place in His hands the things that are out of my control and challenges that may come in the remaining quarter of the year." The next song is a new song, but it's a song that has been sung at youth worship for quite a bit, so I thought we'd introduce it. It's "Jesus, We Place Into Your Hands." It speaks about trusting in God and His word, knowing that He will see us through the different challenges. Yanya and Glenda have very helpfully volunteered, or got arrowed, I don't know, to introduce this song. So I think we'll take the first verse and chorus, and then after that we'll take the song together. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Josh, for sharing, and truly appreciate the way you're taking the Lord's word and applying it into your own life. And I think that's how we want to appreciate all these precious lessons that we're learning from Ecclesiastes. It's a nice song, and you know, it's something that we want to learn and to appreciate. Okay, let's pray, and then we can look at Ecclesiastes 8 this afternoon. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for our faith, faith that is able to trust in you, to place whatever it is that we go through in life into your hands, and really to be able to continue to seek understanding, enlightenment from your word. We pray that you will help us to learn that much more, and especially about what leadership is all about this afternoon. Bless us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we started chapter 8, and we raised this question, who is like a wise man? And there is a need for us to pursue wisdom, right? We looked at Proverbs 1, and you want to be able to do everything you can in order to gain wisdom and finally to be a person who fears the Lord, right? But being a wise man truly gives you the ability to interpret things. We all go through life, life's challenges, and sometimes things can be quite difficult to understand. But wisdom gives us that ability to interpret things. And when we have that wisdom, it makes a difference. It can have a significant impact upon your life, even on your face. Whether there's joy or not, whether your face is the sunshine, that, you know, that's glowing. It makes a difference. So, you know, we are learning what different ways in which wisdom can impact our lives. Okay, today we are going to go on. As I said, sometimes we look at Solomon, he has certain thoughts, and then it leads on to other thoughts. And today we're going to focus a little bit more on what leadership is all about. Now, leadership, but also as citizens of a country. Okay, so let's look at verse 2, and we read, I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Now, what is this all about? So when a king is installed, he is imbued with power and authority, right? And he has the right to give commands. He seeks to ensure there's order in the land, that all the peoples are ruled equally, you know, with justice and so on, right? And then you have those who would serve him, right? So this may be, you know, a verse for all of you working with different ministries and who work for the government, okay? Right? That means what he's trying to say here, right? Keep the king's commandments for the sake of your oath to God. So this is a formal oath. You take an oath to be loyal to the king in the name of God. So it's an interesting perspective, right? So by those who would swear allegiance to the king, to the nation, they will do their part in serving the king, doing their duty. They need to be faithful. They need to be loyal. So this oath is not to be taken lightly. So I think not too long ago, there was the election, and then you have new ministers and MPs, and they all had to be sworn in, right? And they would swear by whatever they believe in. And those who are Christians, they will swear by the Bible, right? So, you know, and then you find out who are the Christians, who are not, who don't believe in anything, right? And so on. Now, this does not only apply to ministers and MPs, and it also applies to whoever else, right? To that time, you have soldiers, you have judges, all these who are part of the government, they are meant to be, you know, they will have to swear allegiance to the king, right? I mean, if you fight for, if you're a soldier of a certain nation and you're supposed to fight, right? And then you end up, wow, I don't want to die, and you desert and so on and so forth. That's not what you're meant to do, right? And of course, he says here, keep the king's commandment. It is to be obedient. So whether formally, right, which is, it has to do with all those who work for the government, or informally, the rest of us, as citizens of a country. So all the citizens, they also would have to swear allegiance to the king and obey accordingly, right? You need to follow, you need to keep the laws of the land, you need to understand and follow accordingly, right? So for us, National Day, we say the pledge. Those of you who work in schools, you say it every day, right? But what's a pledge? A pledge is a pledge, right? You say it with all your heart and say, wow, this is what it means for me to, you know, believe, right? And, you know, so this is something that we want to appreciate. What it means for us. So what Solomon is trying to do is to state, first of all, that this ought to be your understanding, whether formally or informally, whether you are serving the king directly or indirectly or formally, you know, informally as a citizen. Ultimately, it's still to the king. Right? And, you know, for us, we say the pledge, we are citizens of Singapore. Right? We, the citizens of Singapore, pledge ourselves as one united people. And, wow, whenever I say it, my heart is moved. It's National Day. I only say it National Day only, right? Right? Once a year, you stand up and you pledge your allegiance to the country. Okay. Now, what is the context of this? Why did Solomon raise this up? Okay. Then we come to verse 3. And he says, do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. So what is the context here? What he's trying to give is actually a warning. It is a warning to those who are evil. Right? Now, Solomon was well-loved as a king initially. No doubt about it. He was wise. He was doing things right. But I guess along the way, things began to change. Now, he would have advisors. As king, during that time, you have, and I believe every ruler, every president will have their advisors. And some advisors will be good, and some not so good. So along the way, you have those who would be detractors. So Solomon was well aware that there will be those who are wicked and they would try and usurp the throne. So that's the context. There will be those who would go against the king and the nation. So not everyone is going to follow fully. Some would question the king's authority, some would be dissenters, because they are seeking to do evil. Now, because the word evil is used here, what is assumed is that what is being portrayed as a king, nation, it is assumed good for. That's, I mean, we just want to assume that, but that actually is not the focus. The focus here is that there you have people who are plotting evil. And this warning is being given. Okay? And that's why the warning is given, do not be hasty to go from his presence. You don't want to decide to leave, to defect, to do something else. Right? You do not want to take a stand for what is evil. Right? Because if you do so, for the king, he has the authority, right? To do as he pleases, he can go ahead and defeat those who are evil. That's his authority, his prerogative. So we do have people who would choose to do something against the nation, against our country, against people. So then ISD will come in, they will sound it up. You know, you have been looking at all kinds of terrorist sites and all kinds of sensitive things. And, you know, then you appear in the newspaper the next day and all these things will be sound up, right? Well, that is what that's the problem. You know, you have situations where people or even young people, they self-radicalize, they are trying to do all kinds of things against the country, against the government, right? So that is the problem. And look at verse 4. This is the power of the word of the king. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? The power that the king has is truly beyond anybody else, right? You're not talking about a commoner's word. You're not even talking about an advisor's word. You're talking about the word of the king. And he has great authority. He has the power. He sets the laws. Therefore, it is not wise to do anything against him. Okay? So, ultimately, what are we... Now, I'm going to go through this very quickly because I want to go to Psalm 101 for a while. Okay, let's just go on to verse 5 and then we just discuss a little bit. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Right? So, if we were to follow, if we were to keep his commands, we will not experience anything harmful, right? Because you're a loyal subject, you serve the king, you obey the laws, you will experience good. You will be blessed. You dwell in safety, the king will treat you well for your loyalty. But if you start detracting, then there will be all kinds of difficulties. Right, but look at this last part here. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. See, that is what we want to be able to have. To have the kind of wisdom, right, the heart of a wise man to discern what is truly good and what is truly bad. And sometimes it takes, you know, judgment. It takes time to think through things, to discern things. That's why he said, don't do anything hastily. Right? Sometimes you do things hastily, you end up, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have, you know, take that side, and so on. So, discern with time, meaning take time. Don't rush. I'm one person who likes to take time to ponder over things before we decide on something. That's my personal approach. That's what my preference is. I don't like to do things hastily. I like to think it, you know, twice over, three times, right? And then you use judgment. He goes on to say, right? A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So that you can make a good judgment, a good decision. A good decision to understand that what the king is seeking to do is good and I will seek to follow rather than to go against. Right? So this is what Solomon is trying to bring across. And we want to raise this question about leadership. Now, how does it... affect us. okay? When you think about leadership, first of all, we want to be able to think it from a standpoint of what kind of leader should we be. Some of us are in leadership positions, some of us are, you know, middle management, some of us are, you know, hoping to become managers and so on and so forth. The question is, what kind of leader should we be? Right? Which is something that we want to think about and consider. And at the same time, what is it that when you finally, when you become a leader and then you have to choose your leaders, what kind of a person would you choose? You see where I'm going with this? So today we're going to talk a little bit more about leadership. And leadership and also what it means to be a good citizen. Okay? And this is something that we want to consider. Right? Sometimes when we look at life, I mean, you look at what's happening in the States. And, you know, so you have the, right, people like Jimmy Kimmel, right? You know Jimmy Kimmel, right, the late night show? And he is suspended. And then you have, who's the other guys? Not Jon Stewart. Stephen Covey, right? And he also, his show is going to be. So you have the government trying to clamp down. So Trump says, anybody says anything bad about me, I'm going to, you know, get you to revoke your license and stuff like that. So you ask yourself, what is that all about? Right? But that's the unfortunate situation over in the States. But here, when we talk about leadership, we want to look at good leadership. Right? Because ultimately, it affects the nation and it affects for us as a church also. That is the context in which I'm looking at. Okay, so what do you think? Let's ask those in government. Who's in government? Sham. I mean, it affects judges also, right? You want to ensure. So during that time, judges, they are supposed to do, you know, follow the law. Whatever the king decrees, you have to make sure that it is what it is. Okay. What do you think? Any thoughts?
I think, okay, in government, right? I think for the most part, we do have good leaders.
Yeah.
But I guess the challenge sometimes comes when you have perhaps certain individuals who maybe don't have that kind of wisdom or they seek to... They have their own ideas on how to do things.
Yep.
Then I guess the challenge is when you personally feel like, okay, this is not the best way for the organization, but then again, you are also subject to them, right? Like, who are you to say that that's not the wise way?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's the struggle sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. So then because you are, you know, because you are under this person, then you have to follow along, right?
Yeah, unless it's like clearly wrong, then I'll try and find another way. But so there's a tension between you, even if you...
So the question is, at the end of the day, is, are you raising accountability and stuff like that? Or what? Or how would you manage the situation, is it?
I think it depends, because if it's a clearly wrong decision, then I'll try to... I don't know, go to someone even higher or someone who can, but if it's maybe a matter of preference, then because I respect that office that the person is in, even if I personally don't agree.
So, ultimately, as you say, there is the respect, you see. And I think that's important. no matter what. So sometimes you have bosses who you know, who are in, may not be in the, as you say, wisdom. We go back to wisdom. They may not have all the wisdom or doing certain things. So nonetheless, that respect has to do that. But you're right. Where do we draw the line? We draw the line when it's something that is wrong, against the law, and so on. Definitely. It's right, so you know, like high flux, right? I don't know whether you've been following the court case that is going on now. Right, and they did things that were totally wrong, and nobody spoke up. So now, of course, everything is coming out. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's rarely that the person is doing something like obviously wrong. Or against the law, but it's just the, like, there's always a balance between being just and wise and compassionate. Then sometimes it's just where you strike that balance in making certain decisions.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where the wisdom comes in.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's important. And that's what we want to be able to do, you see. The wisdom to be able to manage the situation, both. So I know some of you are in between. You have to manage up, you have to manage down, manage left, right, everywhere. Right? Okay, Josh, what do you think?
I think it's quite difficult.
Right?
I'm not in government. So that's... I think in private sector, the equivalent would be bosses.
Yeah, sure.
And I think certain calls or certain decisions, there's no clear right or wrong.
Yeah.
There is a... It's a fine line. And I think that's where I try to defer to what they say.
Sure.
In terms of making decisions.
Sure.
One, out of respect, but second, also because a lot of times is you trust in that person's experience more than my own.
Sure.
So I think that's, I mean, it's tough.
It's not easy, right? We all recognize that. That's why we need more wisdom at the end of the day. Everybody's situation is different, right? But ultimately, it is how do we, you know, look at being able to manage things. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 101 and look at how David, what David was looking for when he chose the people in his government. So Psalm 101. Now let's look at from David's standpoint. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "I will sing of mercy and justice." See? Right? "And to you, O Lord, I will sing praises." So he starts off with praising God. And then verse 2, "I will behave wisely in a perfect way." Now the word perfect doesn't mean absolute perfect, right? "But I will behave wisely in a blameless way, righteous way." Can you see this? And that's important. So, "Oh, when will you come to me?" So he seeks to draw nearer to God. "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." Again, idea here is probably to, you know, with a more mature heart and really being able to be not perfect, but rather more righteous. Now let's look at, so he then guards against these things, right? In, let's just say in his administration, what is it that he doesn't want? "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away." So of course, there will be those who rebel, go against, do their own thing. "It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness." Can you see the point here? As much as you talk about preference, you talk about, you know, sometimes certain things are outrightly against the law, But there are things that are also wicked. It may not be against the law, but it's how you do things. You see the point here? You can be doing things right, but then you can do it in a evil way. You can, because someone makes a mistake or whatever, and you beat the person, you despise this person, you put him down and you hammer this person in a way that you're just very mean and evil. You see my point? It's how you do things. It's what kind of person you are. So it's not just about against the law. It's about whether you got to ask yourself whether this is a perverse thing. Is it a wicked thing? Look at verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor. Wow, this guy, this colleague, wow, I don't know why he's like that. Something wrong, right? You can say all kinds of things. Even like, for instance, if you, let's just say, oh, this is, the, you know, you can say words against somebody to your bosses so that your bosses looks down on this person or has the wrong picture. You can slander the person, right? Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor because he's sitting next to you, you can say all you want concerning that person. Him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart. See, that's the problem with positions. The higher you are, the more you are, you know, exposed to so-called power and authority, the more danger that you have in being proud and haughty, right? Him I will not endure. Can you see this? It's the kind of person, it's the kind of leader, it's the kind of citizen that we are meant to be. Right? So it's not just about whether we are against the law. Yes, of course, as you say, it's very clear cut. If it's against the law, it's against the law. But what if it's against, what if it's something that is wicked? What is something that is wrong, perverse? Right? So this is what David used as part of his understanding, what he cannot tolerate, wickedness, evil. But then we come to verse 6. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. See, one of the most important qualities is faithfulness. Are we faithful? Are we faithful? I'm one person who is faithful to our country, no matter how. I love my country. I want to be here rather than anywhere. I've been all over the world. I still come back and say, I love my country. Right? But it's not just about being faithful in a sense, right? It's also faithful walking in a perfect, look at this. He who walks in a perfect way. Again, the idea of blameless. It's how you live your life. That matters. You can be a leader, but you can be the most horrible person. You may not go against, you may not do something that is against the law, but you are a horrible person. You are angry all the time. You do evil things. You backstab people. Right? This is the kind of person that David is weary of. And, so what is he looking for? Those who are faithful, they will dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. But verse 7, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Can you see this? It's the kind of person you are. It's the kind of leader that you are. It's the kind of people that you want to be able to have as part of your, department or your group, people that you want to work with. but not easy to find. Right? And being able to say, this is the kind of leader that I want to be also. Because this is what David is looking for. One who is wise and discerning. That's why we always go back to wisdom. We pray for wisdom. We seek wisdom. We look for wisdom. We apply wisdom. We see how wisdom can make a difference in our lives. And he makes... Yeah, go ahead.
Master Mark, so in verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy.
Yeah.
Then haughty look, him I will not endure.
Yeah.
David uses quite strong language here.
Yeah.
So it does seem that
basically what he's trying to so from him, this is you know, you're talking about the city of God. So he's very conscious of who should serve, who should not serve. Right? As king, he is someone who leads with that kind of understanding, right? For him, you must be blameless. For him, he's saying, I need to behave wisely, to walk in a perfect way. He's looking at blamelessness. Now, of course, he's not perfect, right? He also has his issues. But as far as he can, this is what he wants for his government. Now, of course, along the way, he had others who were detractors, you know. You had Absalom who went against him and others along the way. Ahithophel, right, was an advisor who took the side of Absalom. So you won't be able to see these things, the true colors, until challenges rise up, where things are being tested, your allegiance will be tested. So what kind of person will you be? So David is very concerned about that. And that's why he's coming across in that way. He wants to be able to ensure that if you're not that kind of person, then, you know, I'd rather that you're not around. Because you're going to be part of looking after Jerusalem, the nation, and so on. And what is he looking for? He's looking for those who are faithful of the land. Are we faithful? Seriously, are we faithful? Faithful to the country, faithful to our nation, faithful to the Lord, faithful to our church. Faithfulness. So as we think about leadership in our church as pastors, I also need to learn faithfulness. I learned faithfulness from very young. I'm going to, you know, this is what I'm going to do, how I live my life, and so on. And if I serve, I serve faithfully. I want to serve the Lord, and this is what I seek to do. I'm not going to be like, well, neither here nor there, I might, you know, kind of approach. Then forget it, right? If you're not going to be faithful and clear as to your commitment, then don't even start, right? Keep growing, keep learning until point where you, okay, I'm so much more, you know, in terms of my faith that I can really apply this idea of faithfulness. Okay, then by all means serve. But if my service to the Lord is, you know, neither here nor there, is questionable, then how are we really serving the Lord? Right? And that's what one of the key things that we want to be able to have for those who serve alongside is faithfulness. And the thing is that's what leadership is, you see. What kind of leader are we? The most fundamental basic thing is faithfulness. Right? And not only just faithful, it's who you are, how you are, what kind of person you are. Can you speak of blamelessness? Can we speak of one who is able to walk in a way that is honoring to the Lord? Right? That we guard ourselves from all kinds of evil and so forth. Right? You know, I was hearing a podcast by Rick Warren You heard of Rick Warren, right, who wrote Purpose Driven Life. After 40 over years of ministry, he retired. And, you know, so I was just listening what his views about leadership and so on and so forth. And I appreciate where he's coming from. And, you know, one of the things he talks about is faithfulness. Right? He's faithful to his church. He's seen how God has blessed over all these 40 over years. And, you know, we're glad for that. And I'm just listening to what he's talking about. So there's something for us to learn. And whether we are leaders, whether we are citizens, everything that we want to be able to learn as a country or even as a church, we just want to be able to have these qualities to work with. Wisdom, discernment, and faithfulness, and walking with blamelessness. Okay? Well, we're going to pray, and then let's collect the offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you once again for this time as we learn from your word. Help us, Lord, to understand what it truly means to be a leader. It's not just about understanding the laws of the land, but who we are. Help us, Lord, to learn to live our lives, not in doing things that are evil or wicked, but rather to live our lives faithful to you, faithful to our country, walking in a way that is truly blameless. Help us to have the kind of wisdom and understanding in our own context, whether it is in our work, whether in church, to be able, Lord, to fulfill these things. We ask that you will bless this offering, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.